us in today's scripture, John 6, verse 35, and then 41 through 51. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh."
So yes, we talk about bread once again. I am the bread of life, part two. Last week we read about the beginnings of the bread of life discourse between Jesus and the crowd. At that point, in the beginning of John 6, he had just fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish, and then he walked on water to get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The next day, then, upon finding him, the crowd asked for another sign, a miracle, that will show them that he really is from God like he says he is. Even though, by the way, they were all there when he had just miraculously fed all 5,000 of them. And we noted last week that it was almost as if they deliberately forgot about the sign that they had just witnessed in order to make Jesus do something else, which makes it seem like the crowd really is asking Jesus, "Well, what have you done for me lately?" One of the things that the bread of life reminds us of is God's grace, because God never asked us, "Well, what have you done for me lately?" before we receive sustenance and care from God, the bread that we might need to carry on. So as we hear Jesus continue to talk about how he is the bread of life this week, we are reminded of something else, and something else that I want to talk about today. God's grace is important, but we're also reminded of God's faithfulness. Now, bread is an excellent symbol to represent faithfulness. Today and for thousands of years, bread is a staple in the diet of many people around the world. And even for those that are gluten-free and don't eat as much or if any bread, there are plenty of substitutes that are made for bread, because it's not just the taste of bread that's a staple, that makes it a staple for us. It gives us structure to and defines our food. You add bread to a lot of other dishes, and suddenly what you have is toast, or a sandwich, or pizza, or burritos, or dumplings, or something else. Sometimes we eat bread so much that we don't even think about it, but clearly it's something that we seek out in our food. Today, the average American eats between 40 and 50 pounds of bread each year. So bread is something that we keep coming back to again and again and again, which is a defining quality of faithfulness. That's the quality of God that Jesus is trying to remind us of. A quality that, of course, he possesses too, being God in the flesh. Just like how bread is something that everyone at the time and nearly everyone now relies on again and again in their diets, he is someone that people can rely on all the time. Faithfulness unmatched. Now, the way that Jesus evokes the imagery of bread here reminds us of his steadfast and faithful presence with all people. And that, in turn, reminds me of another biblical image made for exactly that same purpose, to remind people of God's faithfulness. And that image we don't see too often around our churches, but that is the Ebenezer. Now, Ebenezer is more than just a possible name for churches, like Ebenezer Moravian Church in Watertown, Wisconsin. And it's more than just a name for a cranky Scrooge at Christmas time. In Hebrew, Ebenezer means stone of help. The origin comes from 1 Samuel chapter 7. It was when the Philistines were looking to conquer the Israelites. And after the Israelites then successfully held their ground, the prophet Samuel took a stone and he set it up at the site of that conflict. And he named it Ebenezer, Stone of Help, as a constant physical reminder to the Israelites so that whenever they would see it, they would think of God's help in that time and God's faithfulness in that time, and then carry it forward into thinking about God's faithfulness at all times. So reminders are good. Reminders are a good thing in general, whether it be notes, from notes that you write yourself, or from your phone, or Alexa, Siri, or Google, or if someone is there to actually remind you in person, or you have some other personal reminder system that just works for you. Reminders constantly keep us going in our day-to-day lives and our regular routines. And reminders of God's presence is even more important. Or they are all important because, as we collectively know and confess, we forget about God during our average times and difficult times in our lives. Out of sight, out of mind can be a real thing. So we need things like bread, like Ebenezers, and lots of them, reminders, to be reminded of God and God's faithfulness in our lives. So I wonder if you can think about now, what are some of your godly reminders? What are your go-tos? Those things that you go back to again and again and again to remind you of God's faithfulness. Is it a verse from Scripture? A favorite one that you might have? Is it a prayer or a quote that you either keep in your head or it's somewhere nearby at home or maybe posted on the wall? Is it a hymn, something that we've sang in church? Is it a place like this church or like camp or some other place that reminds you of God? Is it an object? Is it an heirloom? Is it a person that reminds you of God's faithfulness? They're all different for all of us. What are your reminders of God? I hope that you can think of a few, if not many. And I wonder, as you think of them, maybe we can all think about this together. You know, how many times have we revisited those reminders lately? How often have we come across those reminders? Because when it comes to God's faithfulness, well, there's a lot of evidence to recall. There's a lot to be reminded of. From God caring for a crowd looking for a promised land, to God protecting Israelites from being conquered, to God feeding crowds with 5 loaves and 2 fish, to God providing for all kinds of people all over Scripture, to various moments in our past when God cared for us when we were in pain, or when God provided an opportunity for us when we were floundering and needed purpose, or when God blessed us with incredible companions to go through life with. God was there. God provided. God was faithful. And when looking to an unknown future, perhaps an uncertain, scary future, we need constant reminders to know that God will be there too. The track record is already there for us. So we know that this is what we can count on. This is what we need to count on. And as Jesus says repeatedly in the Gospel of John, this is who we need to believe in. So today, upon hearing about bread in Scripture and it being used as an image to remind us of God's faithfulness shown through Christ, let us use that as an opportunity, a timely invitation, to revisit some of our own personal reminders. The bread, the Ebenezers, if you will, the hymns, the verses, the objects, the places, the people, to remind us of God's faithfulness, so that we can remember how God has cared for each of us and remember how God has nudged us to serve in different ways, to remember how God has grieved with us, grieved with you at different times, to remember how God has encouraged you to carry on, to remember what God has given you at different times in life, not only things, but experiences and talents and other intangible things. Remember how God shaped you. So let us revisit those reminders once again so that we can remember all that, and then we can let those remembrances build hope in each of us that God will faithfully and steadfastly continue to do this, to be here with us and provide, to do this for you, to do this for all people forevermore. May we constantly see reminders of God's goodness around us. May we constantly make an effort to look out for them, to point them out to others too. May we constantly look to see those reminders, which is exactly what our next hymn is all about. This well-known hymn, perhaps a personal reminder itself for many of us, a well-known hymn. So this next hymn, Be Thou My Vision, please sing with us. If this is a personal reminder for you, please dwell in that. Reflect on it. May it remind you of God's goodness and faithfulness with us all. Be Thou My Vision, number 719. Companions in Christ, as you continue to look for God's faithfulness, as you continue to share it with others, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord's countenance be lifted upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.